Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 6 of week number 26, studying Matthew chapter 26. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16, Judas's betrayal of Jesus. These three verses are very difficult to read, and they are even more difficult to understand. Why would someone so very close to Jesus, why would that kind of someone, an apostle chosen by Jesus himself, why would that person betray Jesus, the Son of God? There are no easy answers, but there are answers, plenty of answers. Whether or not any of them make sense, that's another matter to discuss. Let's start with what these three verses tell us, what they explicitly state. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 apostles, went to the chief priests. Judas asked the chief priest this question, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" The chief priest gave Judas 30 pieces of silver. And from that point forward, Judas Iscariot looked for opportunities to betray Jesus. Before we examine what these verses say, what they mean, beyond their explicitly stated words, that is, let's ask some questions. Why? What for? What was Judas Iscariot's motivation? What did he hope to gain? Was it just for the money? Did he not believe who and what Jesus was? Did he not witness the miracles of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the love and the compassion of Jesus? Did he not realize why Jesus came? To save us from the consequences of sin and death. To save him. To save Judas Iscariot from the consequences of his sins. Just how did Judas think that this would work out? Did he have any idea what would happen to Jesus because of his act of betrayal? Did he know that the religious leaders were angry with Jesus, that they constantly sought to entrap Jesus, that they wanted Jesus dead? Was Judas somehow oblivious to all of this, blinded by something else? What was he thinking as he traveled with Jesus for the last 3 to 3.5 years? What impact did Jesus' public ministry have on Judas? It's obvious that we could ask 100 questions about Judas' betrayal of the Christ. But before we get carried away with any more questions, let's try to focus on some answers. First, let's think about his identity. Who was Judas? Though we usually think only of this Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, there are at least 9 different characters named Judas in the New Testament. There's Judah, the 4th son of the patriarch Jacob. His name appears in the genealogical records in both Matthew 1:1 and Luke 3, verse 3. It's important to note that Judah and Judas are not 2 different names, but 2 different forms of the same name. That name applies to Judah, the son of Jacob, but it also applies to the tribe of Judah and the country belonging to the tribe of Judah as well. See, for example, Hebrews 7:14 and Luke 1:39. Second and third, there are 2 other Judas or Judases in the genealogy of Jesus. One, the son of Joannes, Luke 3:26 and 27, and the other, the son of Joseph, Luke chapter 3, verse 30. Fourth, an insurrectionist named Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. he also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. That's Acts 5, verse 37. Fifth, Paul stayed at the house of a man named Judas in Acts chapter 9, verse 11. Sixth, there was actually another apostle named Judas, this one the son of Jacob or the son of James. Luke chapter 6, verse 16 mentions both of these apostles in the same verse. That text reads, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. See also Acts chapter 1, verse 12. In one text, the apostle John intentionally identified this second apostle Judas with these words, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? John 14, verse 22. Seventh, there's this Judas, the one that we are discussing in Matthew 26, 14, whose name appears several times in the New Testament. Eighth, there's a Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, that traveled with Paul and Barnabas. Acts 15, verse 22, verse 27, and verse 32. And then finally, Jesus had a brother named Judas. In Matthew 13, after Jesus taught in the synagogue of Nazareth, those who heard him were astonished and said, Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. That's Matthew 13, verse 54 through 57. This Judas, the brother of Jesus, appears to be the same brother of Jesus named Jude, who wrote the New Testament book of the same name. Though we often refer to Judas by the singular name Judas, he's also referred to in the New Testament by the fuller name, Judas Iscariot. The second part of Judas's name, Iscariot, was more than likely a reference to the place where Judas was from. Limbeck notes, according to the most commonly held view, Iscariot is to be interpreted as man of Kerioth, since a Jewish place named Kerioth is known from Joshua chapter 15, verse 25. Second, let's think more about the text itself. Concentrating on these three verses, Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16, we know that Judas was one of the 12. That means that if everything we see about the calling of other apostles was also true for Judas, that he, Judas, was specifically and personally chosen by Jesus himself. The first example of apostolic calling appears in Matthew 4, verses 18 and following. In that context, Jesus called the four fishermen, the two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John. We witness a similar occurrence in Matthew 9, verse 9, when Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, Follow me. So he arose and followed him. There are no specific texts that detail the call of Judas by Jesus, but there are no specific texts that detail the call of the other six apostles either. As one of the 12, Judas was part of what we call the limited commission, the sending of the apostles to the lost sheep in the house of Israel. His name appears in the opening verses of Matthew 10, where we read, And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. That's Matthew 10, verses 1 through 4. As that context continues, we read this. These 12 Jesus sent out and commended them, saying, that's verse 5 of Matthew 10, Those words are followed by the lengthy description of the work that the apostles, including Judas, of course, were to do as they went throughout the land. There are no other explicit references to Judas after that commission in Matthew's Gospel until we get to this passage, Matthew 26, verse 14. His name will appear two more times in this chapter. In Matthew 26, 25, when Judas asks Jesus in the context of the Passover / precursor to the Lord's Supper, "Rabbi, is it I?" And then again in Matthew 26, 47, when Judas came with the multitude to identify and to betray Jesus. After that, his name only appears one more time in Matthew. In that context, Matthew 27, verse 3, which we will study in our next series of lessons, we learn of what happened to Judas after his betrayal of Jesus. We asked several questions earlier about Judas's motivation, about his understanding of who and what Jesus was, what he thought his betrayal would lead to, and other questions as well. To be upfront about it, we do not know the answers to all of these questions. We do, however, know this. In other contexts, we learn that Judas, quote, had the money box, evidently serving as a treasure of some sort for all of the apostles, John 13, verse 29. Though in the immediately preceding context, Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13, all of the apostles apparently express concern for the extravagant cost of the oil used to anoint Jesus. On another occasion, we learn that Judas was singled out as the one disciple who expressed concern about a similar anointing. That text says, "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." That's John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 26. These reminders as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.